Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
So many people today think it's a woman's choice whether to have an abortion or not. What are the consequences of having an abortion and the lifelong effects? My guest today wrote the book Moving Forward After Abortion, Finding Comfort in God. Her name is Camille Cates. Hear her story. Can God use her story to help you or someone you love? I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Camille, welcome.
Judy, thank you so much for having me.
Camille, when I read your book, I was amazed at how you even lived through your story. Why don't you share with our listeners your story and give them some insights in the challenges you faced and the choices you made?
Sure. Well, you know, I grew up in a church. My parents were involved. So I like to say, you know, like a lot of kids who grew up in the church, I was there every time the doors were open. So I heard a lot about the gospel. I heard a lot about the Bible and Bible stories and kind of thought that they were superheroes, you know, of the faith. And later on, when I grew up and read the Bible for myself, I understood that they were sinners and had a lot of messy decisions in life that are not so different from ours. So I did have that upbringing, and I actually came to know the Lord at age 12 when I was at a youth camp. But I tell people I went home from that camp experience and I really didn't know what to do with this new relationship with Christ. So I just kept going to church and, you know, tried to read my Bible. I tried to pray all the things that we're told to do. But when I would go to school, I was living like the rest of my peers and the rest of the world. And so I didn't really have a lot of that application, some good biblical application. I didn't really have a lot of that biblical application. And so I got into dating relationships in high school, and I didn't realize my parents hadn't talked with me a lot about how to navigate and have godly relationships. So I ended up just kind of trying to figure it out for myself and was surprised a bit at some of the pressure in those relationships to become sexually active. And when I was 15, I gave in to that pressure and did become sexually active. And then about age 16, almost 17, I became pregnant.
You became pregnant. And as you're thinking about your childhood, what could have happened differently? You said you were thinking about superheroes, that the people in the Bible were superheroes. So how could things have been different for you to keep that solid relationship after you received Christ, not only at home, but at school?
Yeah, I think the key is for parents to be engaged in biblical conversations, to have that biblical knowledge themselves, which my parents didn't. They were of a generation that wasn't very biblically literate. And so they didn't know what to teach me. So I think for parents, the first thing is really becoming equipped with real answers from the Bible on the real tough topics that our teens are facing with and dealing with. And they're facing more, I would say, or more complex things are coming at them than in my generation even. So, but I think a lot of parents are afraid because of their own past. And I later found out, you know, my parents had some things probably in their past that made them fearful of engaging in that conversation. So I would say for parents to definitely get equipped so they can engage in those conversations, but also to seek their own biblical healing from the areas that they have, you know, made simple choices or experienced trauma from, so that they can come from a place of healing and hope to sit down and have those real conversations with their kids. But I didn't have that. So I ended up, you know, becoming sexually active, and I was scared to death to tell my parents. And when my mom found out, she came to me and she said, Camille, do you want to have an abortion? And I was shocked. And I thought, well, I know that having sex outside of marriage was wrong, but I also know abortion's like really wrong, or at least that's, you know, how I thought of things in my mind at the time. And I thought, no, I don't want to do that. And I said, no, I want to keep this baby. This is my baby. And she said, well, we'll support you. And they did. And I'm so grateful. You know, they let me stay with them and encouraged me to finish my education. And I had my daughter that summer after I graduated from high school. So, you know, but things for me really didn't change, Judy. Other than having a daughter, I still hadn't learned about relationships, and I was craving that relationship with somebody who would love me. And now I had a daughter, somebody that would love her, and that we would be a family, which is, you know, what God's heart is for the family. And so I wanted to find that person and began dating again without any kind of real good foundation, and found somebody and became sexually active again and became pregnant again very quickly. And, you know, we were young in that relationship and new in that relationship and didn't really know what we were going to do. I had talked about possibly having an abortion, and we never really got to that point because he ended up one night while he was watching her for me. I was at work. He ended up sexually assaulting and shaking her to death.
Wow. And you were how old then, and how old was he?
I was 18. He was 21. So very, very young looking back. I just can't believe, you know, kind of going through those things at 18. But there are a lot of young people. And it really, you know, can kind of resonate with some of the women who are in the position of experiencing rape or something else as a young woman. And feeling like abortion is their only option, which is not true. But I can understand, I can empathize with that. And so, you know, here I was pregnant with this man's baby.
Yeah. And your mother called you because she got a call at home. And she told you to go, that you needed to go to the hospital.
Yeah, she actually came up to my workplace and just came in and said, you've got to go to the hospital. Something's happened to Lauren. And, you know, we spent the evening at the hospital not really knowing at that time what was going on. My boyfriend had kind of made up a story of what had happened. And she was basically, I found out later, she was just on life support. But he had shaken her so profusely that it damaged her brain. And she was legally brain dead. So there was no recovery in the future for her, and she was gone. So, you know, I talk about my story in the book. You know, I hadn't even stepped into the parking lot at the hospital to go home, and my parents were pressuring me to have an abortion because they had found out about the second pregnancy. And so, you know, I just had a short amount of time. I was really, really grappling with the Lord, because here I was a Christian young woman and I knew abortion was wrong, but because I felt my circumstance was so unique, and I think a lot of women who are in an unexpected crisis in pregnancy feel like their situations are really unique, and there are some nuances that are definitely unique, but I just thought, you know, God, if any time abortion is ever going to be okay, this has to be it. You know, please, God, I know this is wrong. I know this is not what you want, but please, will you make an exception this time? Will you make it okay? And I had thought about possibly placing the baby for adoption. And my parents just were that voice in my ear that just said, you can't do this mentally, emotionally. You're not going to be able to go through this. And it really showed just kind of that lack of faith that we had in what our omnipotent, omniscient, you know, ever-present God can do. And he had a plan. He would have made a way that we would have been able to bear up under that. But I ended up making that choice 4 days after my daughter's funeral. I ended up having an abortion. And then my life just really spiraled.
Maybe one of you are in this predicament right now. Maybe your story's not like Camille's, but it's similar. And you feel pressured by society to have an abortion? think, Camille, about all the pressure that girls have and parents have if their children become pregnant, but yet how much the society says, oh, it's okay to have an abortion. That's such a twist in your mind, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because, you know, and I think there's always a fear that gets blown up and out of proportion. We fear the future by nature as human beings, what we can't see, what we don't know, we fear. And so when you can't see ahead that God will make a way, that he will, you know, whether it's through adoption or parenting, that he'll make a way, even if the baby has a poor medical prognosis and they're going to be born with a disability or some kind of impairment. God, you know, in Psalm 139, he talks about knitting us together in our mother's wombs, and he knows, he uses our fallen DNA even to weave that together the way that he wants it, even with disabilities and all, to make us in this image, to bear his image and to be born into this world and to testify to who he is as God and creator God. So, you know, I think there's a lot of pressure for this fear of, oh, you're not going to finish your education if you have this baby, or it's going to be really hard. How are you going to make it financially? There are so many pressures that come from maybe well-meaning friends and family, or these cultural pressures. You know, society typically doesn't want to help out when there's a need. And I think that's where the church is very different. And I would encourage anybody listening who may be facing an unexpected pregnancy, look to the church, you know, and there's pressure. I think there's a temptation to think, oh, the church is going to shame me for that. But a church who really follows Christ, their loving Savior, will love you too, and they'll help you. And so those are some ways to kind of navigate and think through beyond the fear of the future. Look to the one who knows your future. And Psalm 139 even talks about that, how he knows your thoughts before you even speak them.
Hey, Camille, we're going to go to a break. Camille is the author of Moving Forward After Abortion, Finding Comfort in God. Camille Cates is my guest. I'm Judy Redlich. We're going to come back, Camille, and let our listeners know about how you're surviving today and how you got through some of that stuff and maybe answer some of their questions if they've had abortion and put in that same situation. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Please stay tuned, won't you?
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Redlich, this is Encounter. Thanks for coming back for a second segment. Moving Forward After Abortion, Finding Comfort in God is the book we're talking about today. But more importantly, Camille Cates, the author, is my guest. At 17, she got pregnant. They had the child. Her parents supported her. Then she found out that she was pregnant again. And the man she got pregnant with killed her first child. Camille, how did you deal with it? How did you go on from here?
Yeah, you know, I was carrying this man's baby, which was also my baby. But at the same time, I was struggling with how I was going to be able to go on with my life. I thought about adoption, had entered my mind, but my parents had really pressured me and thinking, you know, I wasn't going to be able to handle that mentally or emotionally. And, you know, looking back and knowing God the way I do now, I know he would have. carried me through that difficult time. But with that in mind, I ended up having an abortion 4 days after we buried my daughter. And then my life just began to spiral downward. And I kind of, Judy, I just tell people a lot that I just gave myself over to whatever, with whoever, whenever, because I felt like I had lost everything. And I was hurting so badly and do what so many people do and just self-medicating the pain, but the pain wouldn't go away and needed to be dealt with. So I really struggled for about 2 or 3 years in that just further depravity and trying to, I wasn't lost spiritually, but I felt lost.
So how did you get through that? How did you find Christ?
So even though I was a young Christian at the time, I wasn't walking with the Lord. I wasn't living for the Lord, but God in His grace brought me back around to Him. And I ended up 1 year, this young man that I grew up in church with began kind of pursuing me. We had been friends and he knew about Lauren. Everybody in my hometown knew about what happened to my daughter, Lauren, that she had been murdered. And so he knew about that part of my past, but I didn't think he knew about the abortion. And we were hanging out one night, just having fun as friends. And he looked at me and he told me that he had feelings for me. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, this was a young man who had just graduated from seminary. He was going into youth ministry. And I thought, oh, he has no idea. And he doesn't need to be with a girl like me. And he looked me in the eyes, Judy, and he said, Camille, I know about your abortion, and I love you anyway. And I was just shocked, and I kind of freaked out and left and was like, okay, I've got to go. But the Lord that night, just I felt His presence and Him drawing near me, and it just was like He showed me the gospel afresh. And that He's this holy God and we're sinners, but He loves us and He wants to be with us anyway. And from that moment and that relationship, I made a great decision. I married that young man when he asked me to. And God really began to do a work in my life. But it wasn't all roses after that. Even though I had gotten my life back on track, started living for the Lord, we got involved in youth ministry. And we're having a great time ministering to young people. But I had this abortion in my past, and it hadn't really been dealt with. And it was beginning to wreak havoc on our marriage because I was living under this fear, which is really common with post-abortive women, that God was going to punish me for my abortion by not letting me have any more children. And so with that fear that was driving me, it was just, we were having arguments. It made focusing on ministry very difficult for both of us. But in God's grace, yet again, He brought a ministry into my life, Healing Hearts Ministries International. And they had a Bible study for women who had experienced abortion written by someone who had had an abortion herself. And so as I sat down and did that Bible study, it was like the Holy Spirit just sat down with me and illumined the word to my heart in so many areas. I think a lot of people think that abortion just needs to be confessed and repented of and just kind of wipe your hands and like, good, I'm done. And there's so many complexities to each abortion decision and experience that God wants us to work through those things. There's anger and hurt and bitterness and unforgiveness, and it can cause depression and anxiety. And if we just kind of sweep those things under the rug and say, oh, well, Jesus dealt with it at the cross, I'm good, we're neglecting so much richness in our sanctification. So don't do that. You know, I'm so thankful He brought that Bible study into my life and opened the Word and helped heal my heart with His Word. And so I was forever changed. After that, I had a hunger for the Word and a hunger to help people who were hurting from anything in their life and to show them who God is, His great love for them, and watch what God can do if you'll just submit your heart to Him, if you'll open up to Him.
Camille's chapters, Why Can't I Just Move On? There's another chapter called Will I Ever Stop Feeling This Way? And What Can I Do With These Thoughts About the Baby? Those are just a few of the chapter names in Camille's book, which is called Moving Forward After Abortion, Finding Comfort in God. Camille, what do you want those women who've had an abortion to take away from this interview?
I want to encourage them to trust God in this process of healing from their past. It can be overwhelming, and there's a huge temptation to fear about all that is going to transpire on their journey. What's going to come to the surface emotionally, that freaks people out sometimes, thinking that they can't control it. But trust the Lord. God loves you. He wants you to be healed through His Word so that you can walk with Him unhindered. And I would encourage them to find a trusted friend or pastor and tell them that they've had an abortion. Ask them to pray for you as you're working through things, and then let them know you may be reaching out for encouragement and prayer as you're on your journey.
And I love how many scriptures you share in your book. Almost every sentence is followed by a scripture.
Yeah, God's word is so powerful, Judy. And I think we just don't realize it until we sit down in need, open, truly unhindered, in need. God, I need you. I don't have anything else. I need your help, or I don't know what I'm going to do. And when you come to His word hungry, you're filled and you find that satisfaction and healing that we need. And so that's why I share it, because it's so rich. And I love the Lord, and I love His word so much.
You say the challenges that follow an abortion, even though the stories might be different, what challenges are similar?
I would say, you know, besides the one I talked about previously, a lot of women fear that God's going to punish them. That's something we discuss in the book. I would say another phrase that I hear from women often, I think I even said it at one point in my life before I started working through the healing process, was, I just can't forgive myself. And I think we don't realize how much of a lie that is from Satan, because we can't really forgive ourselves. And the Bible doesn't tell us. It tells us to receive forgiveness from God, and it tells us to forgive others, but we will not find one single scripture that says you need to forgive yourself. And I think the enemy uses that to kind of entrench us in pride, like, oh, I have to do this. I have to have some type of penance for what I've done. And that keeps us, that blinds us to the beauty of the gospel and what Christ did on the cross for us, that we can just sit and simply receive His forgiveness for our sin. And so I would encourage them to refuse that lie of self-forgiveness, and that's also in the book. But those are some big commonalities. Anger, a lot of women struggle with depression and anxiety, and we work through those different emotions in the Bible. And guilt and grief are two big emotions that need to be worked through. And a lot of women feel like they can't grieve the loss of their baby because they were the ones that took the life of their baby. And that's just not true, because we can grieve whatever God grieves, and He grieves the loss.
You hear about women's stories, but how are men affected by the trauma of knowing that their baby that they helped create was aborted?
Yeah, you know, men are impacted deeply as well, and they carry their emotions a lot of times differently. I'll tell you one story of one gentleman, a friend of mine, her baby's father that she had the abortion with. They met for coffee years later. She wanted to share the gospel with him and encouragement and give him hope. And when he went to reach for his wallet at the end of the coffee conversation, he pulled out the receipt for the abortion. And this was, Judy, like 20, 30 years later. He had been carrying around that receipt and held on to it, probably because he didn't know what to do with it. And she was able to share with him that hope. And then I know another gentleman who's an elder in his church, and every Sanctity of Human Life Sunday in January, he's told his pastor, I can't come I can't be there. It's that devastating to him, to the grief is so overwhelming. And so these are men that are hurting, that are often forgotten as part of an abortion experience, or other dads who didn't have a choice. I know men who wanted to keep their babies, but the women, their partners or wives, wouldn't have had an abortion anyway, and they're just devastated. And so I would encourage, you know, the book is good to help men as well. Healing Hearts Ministries International also has a Bible study for men who are post-abortive. So I'd encourage you to go to healinghearts.org.
Healinghearts.org. And how can they get a copy of your book, Moving Forward After Abortion, Finding Comfort in God?
I would love to interact with people at my website. It's agrittygospellife.com. AgrittyGospelLife.com, the same handle on Facebook and Instagram, Agritty Gospel Life. And then New Growth Press is the publisher of the book, and you can go to their website.
That's AgrittyGospelLife.com. Camille, thanks so much for taking the time to share your story.
Thank you for having me, Judy.
I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Okay, sweetheart, I've turned on the nightlight, and here's Teddy.
Grandma, I love it when you tuck me in. You're my best friend. Don't ever leave me. I love you.
Electronic Caregiver helps seniors maintain independence and safety at home with their medical alert system. The smart wristband provides telehealth, medication reminders, and personalized messages. If an emergency occurs, loved ones can call for help by pushing the button. More information from Cheryl Wilson at 314-312-0034.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn.